Inspiration is everywhere. We can find it in our books, our movies, our games, and even just the world around us. With the creative kindling laid and a random prompt to provide the spark, anything and everything will emerge from the flames.
Join us around the fire as we breathe life into these embers of creation. Here, we'll discuss, joke, and forge new stories in the hopes that you find entertainment and inspiration along the way. So grab your hammer and tongs and man the bellows.
This is WorldForge Season 2.
Hello, Piper, and hello, listeners, and welcome back to our podcast room, the room where we take random prompts and turn them into beautiful stories.
Yeah.
For you.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back. Yes. Especially I'm excited about our topic because
yes.
I thought of it.
Yeah.
But
finally pulling your weight here on this podcast, Piper.
Yeah, seriously. It's about dang time. Mm-hmm. So we might as well just jump right into it.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about this off air. This is kind of a weird one for inspiration. We don't really have a way to talk about like our favorite version of this thing.
Right. There's no references we can really pull from unless, yeah. Well, let's just say what the topic is real
yes.
quick. Then we can go into more detail.
The topic is that we are going to be making characters based on random prescription drug names.
Yeah.
So
characters and cities and yes. all kinds of different things.
I think in the spirit of us being terrible at coming up with names for things, you know, a lot of these seem like fantasy names already, so yeah. It's kind of a convenient way to just sort of cheat and pull out some weird goblin sounded name that's actually
antidepressant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So we've been watching a lot of MASH and other shows on yes. Hulu, and we're too lazy / poor to pay for Hulu without ads. So, which means we've been forced to watch a lot of ads. And yeah. I think that I personally have started to get Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So like where before it was so annoying, now I have favorite ads.
The system is working as intended.
But one thing that stood out to me is like there are so many drug ads, and it's always weird to me what shows they pair certain drug ads with.
Yeah,
it'll be like we're watching a cartoon and it's like, do you have erectile dysfunction? And it's like, I don't know.
Who is this for?
Yeah. But the names of drugs are always so funny to me. So I thought we could maybe do a randomized prescription drug name and take that and turn it into a fantasy city or a wizard or a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to, you know, this is one where it's going to be another kind of lightning round episode, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do a few of these pretty quick. So, you know, we'll see how many we get through. But I really like these ones where we get to just get a little taste of a couple of different things.
Yeah.
Like that. So, yeah.
Exactly. I think, Sam, so we're going to randomize all of these options here. Mm-hmm. I think when you click on it, so he's going to read them aloud because
yes.
I famously have a hard time pronouncing words that have syllables, more than 20 syllables.
More than 20 syllables.
Yeah. That's a lot. So Sam is going to read the drug aloud. And then I think if you can click on it and tell us what it's actually meant for, just so we can have that in mind, and then we can start creating.
Oh, yeah. We can get all kinds of... So this database of 24,000 prescription over-the-counter medicines that you found on drugs.com.
Drugs.com.
You can sort drugs by their side effects. By their pregnancy warnings attached to them.
Whoa.
You can sort them. You can have it solo out veterinary drugs. It's interesting to me that this exists.
Yeah.
As someone who's not really like thoroughly medicated, I've never really had to consider the fact that, you know, you might need a database mm-hmm. for something like this. So this will be a cool one. So
yeah. So we're going to take this very serious and helpful resource and turn it into something super funny and silly.
Absolutely. So, you know, I guess before we jump in, I can give a little bit of sort of context as to how we're going to pick these. Right. So. Mm-hmm. The way that I'll actually be going through these is they're alphabetically arranged. So we'll pick a letter, mm-hmm. and then we'll pick, what should we pick, like a number maybe, or I'll just like scroll and you just say stop, and then
I think that's how
whatever
we should do
I'm
it.
On. Okay.
Yeah, I think you, right. we're going to pick a letter, Sam will go to that page, and on which there are about like 50 to 200 different drugs that have
well,
that.
Well, there's 24,000 prescriptions total, so on average with 26 letters, that's going to give us about 1,000 per page.
Right, so there's lots to choose from, so I think you just give it a good old thumb swipe, and then randomly stop, and then read aloud.
Great.
One that sounds like a good old fantasy name.
I can do that. And quite frankly, I don't think I could be trusted with any responsibility like beyond that. So, so let's go ahead and jump right in. I think this is your rodeo here. So why don't you take the first word? You got a letter in mind, or should I spring one on you?
I think I want to do the letter F.
The letter F. F yeah. is for friends who do stuff together.
It's true.
Okay. So I'm going to just give her a good old scroll job here and... All right, I've got, you've got Flexeril.
Flexeril.
Flexeril, which goes by the generic name cyclobenzaprine, or Amrix, Fexmid, or Flexeril as the brand names. Let's see, it is a muscle relaxant, so I guess that's where the flex kind of comes from in it, maybe. It works by blocking nerve impulses or pain sensations that are sent to your brain. Flexeril is used together with rest and physical therapy to treat skeletal muscle conditions such as pain, injury, or spasms. It may also be used for purposes not listed in this medication guide. That's okay. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like the skeletal association.
Dude, yes. All right, so Flexeril?
Flexeril.
Flexeril.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Flexeril.
Awesome.
Yes.
Also, I think I want to say right off the bat, if any of you use the drugs that we're going to be talking about, tweet at us and be like, hey, man, I love Flexeril. Yeah. Changed my life.
You're like, dude, I'm so hopped up on Flexeril right now. You don't even know.
So the first thing that I want to do with this, I think this actually should be the name of a spell that you can use.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I like that.
I see the way that this would be practical is if you are in a dungeon scenario and you come to some sort of chamber where maybe there was like a collapse, right?
Yeah.
But you can kind of tell that there's enough gaps between the rocks and things that if you were very flexible, you could probably snake your way through there.
Okay.
Sort of like a Monty Burns trapped in an avalanche.
Yeah.
Eating bugs for 6 months until he slimes his way out.
So it's like it makes you like jelly, like it liquefies your bones or something temporarily.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I think it's a spell that you can cast on yourself or on other objects to make them bendable and flexible.
Okay.
So therefore you could cast Flexeril and then slime through a little thing. But I think there needs to be like sort of like a scale of how well you can do this.
Yes.
So if you roll like a perfect 20 on Flexeril, then as soon as you don't need the spell anymore, you can just be like, it can be done.
Yeah.
But if you roll poorly on it, you're kind of stuck as a puddle like for a while.
Okay. That's interesting. We're changing the way that spells even work here. That's kind of cool. I like that like degrees of like success of it. Or like maybe it could be something like you would, if we want to try and tie this into like D&D rules as written, maybe if you are a like non-willing recipient of this spell, you have a chance to like resist it, and depending on how close to, you know, if you resist it handily, then no, it has no effect on you. But if you don't resist it, well, you know, if you just barely squeak by, it'll still get you a little floppy, but it's not going to get you quite as like juicy as if you were like totally down to get, I don't know, flexerilled, flexerized. I don't know, flexercised. Yeah.
So that's my first thought.
Cool.
Any initial thoughts for this word that come to your mind?
You know, I'm glad that you stayed with the whole like bone thing with this, because that was what I really liked, was the fact that it's for treating skeletal muscle conditions.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I jumped right to like, it's for treating like actual skeletons with like weird conditions. It would be like a healing spell for skeletons or something like that. Because normally if you cast a healing spell on something undead, it will harm them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is sort of if we're trying to make this a spell, maybe it would be the kind of spell that if your skeleton companion is, you know, he's got a couple of broken bones, he's looking a little worse for wear, you cast this on him and it like, you know, shines his bones up like brand new.
Nice.
I think that would be kind of a handy thing to have as a necromancer.
Absolutely. That sounds like something that we should bottle and sell in our fantasy Western setting. Because we have an entire race of skeleton people.
Yeah.
So now you can get your Flexeril
wherever
skeletons may roam.
I'm now just picturing like the big city like snake oil salesman that's like going around. He's probably trying to sell this to, I bet you it's like a thing that works, you know, perfectly fine for skeletons, but he tries to sell it to humans too. He's like, oh, if you got arthritis or whatever, you rub this on your rheumatism, you put a dab of this in your coffee in the morning and it'll fix you right up. But it probably just does nothing for humans, but he's just trying to find a way to like, you know, sell it without having to go into the dangerous skeleton territory. Yeah.
I think actually here the term snake oil would be very effective, because if it does what my original spell said, it can literally give you the flexibility of a snake.
That's true. You are as an oiled serpent when you wear this. Yes, I like that.
All right. Our first one.
That's great. Okay.
Done.
Yeah, we got two for one out of that one sort of here.
two for one.
All right. I am going to pick the letter M, I think. M is as good a letter as any. And we've got methotrexate. That actually sounds familiar. Okay. So methotrexate, the generic name is methotrexate. It also goes by the brand names Trexol and Zatmep.
Trexol sounds kind of familiar.
Trexol, actually, I like Zatmep. Sounds like the Aztec god of war or something like that.
Is it That's Zatmep? Cool.
It's Zat, X-A-T-M-E-P. Okay, methotrexate. Methotrexate interferes with the growth of certain cells in the body, especially cells that reproduce quickly, such as cancer cells, bone marrow cells, and skin cells. Methotrexate is used to treat leukemia and certain types of cancer on the breast, skin, head, neck, lung, or uterus. Methotrexate is also used to treat severe psoriasis and rheumatoid arthritis in adults. It is also used to treat active, polyarticular, coarse, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis in children. Say that five times fast.
I can't. I don't even want to try.
Give me my honorary medical degree right now, please, for that one. I think I'm pretty sure I heard this like used in house or something like that at some point. This sounds really familiar. So I like Zatmep, the brand name for it. Actually, that's something that I think I want to use for
Zatmep.
This.
It does sound cool.
Yeah, I think it to me, like, yeah, that's the first thing that stands out, is it sounds like some kind of a cool god of war or something like that.
Sounds Egyptian to me.
Yeah. I kind of picture I was just reading about like the fall of the Aztec Empire recently. I've been playing a lot of Age of Empires 2. And in that game, there's sort of this glossary of all the different civilizations that you can play as.
Cool.
And they give these sort of brief, like, you know, a couple paragraph histories of, you know, where the certain civilizations came from and like what time period they were from and like what they were kind of known for and, you know, and all that stuff. And they were talking about how the Aztecs were, you know, they valued like warrior traits, because they were such great warriors, like there was very little like resistance to their rule, because they were this like huge tribe and like all the smaller tribes just like couldn't stand up to them, right?
Yeah.
And because they believed in like human sacrifice, they thought that you had to like pay essentially a tithe of blood to the sun for the sun to like rise during the day.
Okay.
They would essentially have these orchestrated wars. They called them garland wars, when they didn't have like actual like enemies to fight, where they would just like come up with reasons to like make a bunch of people fight, and they would, you know, they would go and like raid small towns and like get you know, slaves and sacrifices and things like that.
Whoa.
And it was talking about how one of like the weapons that they used, they had two different versions of this weapon. They had these kind of like cudgels, and when they were used in like, you know, for non-lethal purposes, it was just like a club that you would use to like bash somebody in the head. Mm-hmm. But when they wanted to go into like full on war, they like studded the club with like shards of like obsidian.
Yeah.
I've seen that in like art. Yeah. So they're, I don't know, like that, for some reason, that like imagery specifically jumps out in my head, when I hear Zatmep. I do like the Egyptian kind of connotations there as well. So I definitely see this as maybe it's like a god of war from like some kind of like tropical or like desert civilization. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be their weapon of choice, would be like this big obsidian cudgel like that. And so cool. That's what they're kind of known for, is they have, maybe it's like a, I think it'd be cool if we just go like full anime style with it, where it's just like a giant, you know, like 10-foot long cudgel that they drag on the ground behind them or something as they walk. And so
sounds kind of Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe whenever there would be, maybe they're associated with like snakes or something as well, because they leave like a similar trail as a snake. Like if you see this like, you know, trail through the jungle, you would say, oh, maybe this is an omen for war. Zatmep, the god of war, has passed by here or something like that.
Yeah, because it's his like, war path.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's just like a line in the dirt that is from his, you know, his giant cudgel that he drags behind him.
Cool and spooky.
He can cut off the heads of 1,000 men in one swipe or something like that, you know?
But first he has to organize them into a tidy line.
Yes, exactly. Please. Stand right over here real quick. Just shoulder to shoulder. You're a little taller. Can you duck down a bit?
Yep. So, yeah. If you all stand nice and smooth, you're going to get your free ice cream that I promised.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good one. Do you have any thoughts about this? Anything that jumps out to you for methotrexate or Zatmep?
I think you covered that one pretty well. So I think I'm ready for my next prompt.
All right. The lightning strikes a third time here. What letter do you want?
Ooh, I want the letter Z.
Z. All right. There are all kinds of good ones for Z. Holy cow. Okay. I'm going for Zoloft. Let's see. You've got Xanaflex. Oh, you got two flex ones. Flex in the name.
Give me something that doesn't have flex.
Okay, all right. Yeah. No more enough flexing for one day here.
This isn't a flexing party. Drugs.com.
All right.
Jeez.
Yeah, honestly. Zovirax. Ooh, how about that?
Okay. Zovirax.
It also goes by the generic name Acyclovir. Zovirax is an antiviral drug. Acyclovir slows the growth and spread of the herpes virus in the body. Zovirax is used to treat infections caused by herpes viruses such as genital herpes, cold sores, shingles, and chickenpox. It will not cure it, however, it can lessen the symptoms of the infection. Okay. Acyclovir or Zovirax?
Okay, Zovirax is what I'm going to go for.
Tweet at us, remember, if you take this one.
Zovirax is what I'm going for. I want it to be the name of a character. And Zovirax sounds to me like I'm picturing a large orc, like a strong orc character. Mm-hmm. And the thing from the description that you said that stands out to me is you mentioned chicken pox.
Yeah.
I think this orc rides a dire chicken.
Okay, cool, I think that's
say the name again. Zovirax. Zovirax rides the dire chicken.
Maybe the chicken's name is Acyclovir, Zovirax is the name of the orc. Oh my god,
that works. I like that. Since birds, as we all know, are descendants of dinosaurs, I think this chicken, it doesn't simply look like a large chicken. It's kind of like a raptor, but it has an impressive like rooster's crest.
Cool.
Got like feathers, but I think it's mostly a running creature. It doesn't fly.
So it's more like ostrich-like.
Yes.
Than chicken-like, perhaps.
Yeah. I think Zovirax has spent a lot of time. Zovirax is really tough and scary. I think I'm going to say that she's a lady warrior, but she really loves her pet chicken.
Yeah.
And so every time she like earns any kind of money, I think she spends it on making finer quality and higher quality armor for her pet chicken.
Cool. Like chicken barding.
Yeah. Well, she makes sure that the chicken is really protected, because when she goes into battle, she doesn't want anything to happen to her best friend / steed. But also the armor is absolutely magnificent. So I think it like gleams in the sun and it can blind enemies.
I like that. So it's a chocobo, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. I love the idea of this chicken having armor that's like so fine. It's so like bright and, you know, like stunning to behold, that they would say like the chicken's feathers are made of gold or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that people would maybe tell these tales that they don't, you know, not everybody even realizes that it's armor. They just think it's the natural properties of this giant, magnificent war beast.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah. So I think she's an orc warrior who takes very good care of her steed.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some Tolkien passage about an army that like glitters in the sun or something like that, because of the the make of their armor is so reflective that it's like the sun rising or something like that when they come over the hill.
Cool.
Maybe it was something we talked about on the podcast or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to give credit to Tolkien for that. I'm just going to assume if that exists, it was probably something that I read in a Tolkien book.
One detail I think I want to add to this powerful war rooster is because I, in one of the fantasy creature art books that I have, I think it's really cool that a basilisk sometimes is portrayed as a snake, but sometimes it's portrayed as like a rooster.
Like a scaly chicken sort of. Of,
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think actually her steed is technically a basilisk.
Cool. I like that.
But it can only turn people to stone if it's like fed a certain magical diet.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. So normally it can just like look around and won't hurt anybody. But if she wants it to be able to have that ability, she can like buy a potion or some like magic corn or grain and feed it to the basilisk. And when the rooster eats that, then it's able to tap into its stone turning abilities.
Maybe it has to eat like. It eats like stone. Gravel or something. Yeah, exactly.
Which
it eats
birds
like stones.
Actually do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
To help like digest their food.
Yes. Weirdly, I know the German word for that, which is Kugelchen, which means small balls, which is little pebbles that birds eat to help grind up their food for them.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So I think before battle, she feeds her rooster a nice meal of stone.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. That's super cool.
So then when it's like charging down the field, if it just looks at somebody, they'll turn into stone and then she'll like shatter them with her sword.
That's super cool. I like that it's sort of a, I don't want to say like a neutered version of it, right? But it's just, it can have like, it can go sicko mode on us if we want. It can go like kill mode.
Right.
If we need it to, but it's not like defaulted to that.
Well, exactly. Because I feel like that would cause a lot of problems if your bird is just constantly turning everything into stone just by looking around and existing. Yeah. So I think I liked that idea that you could kind of enhance this ability.
Yeah. Have you seen that thing that chickens can do? There's a name for it, but I cannot think of what it is, where if you like pick up a chicken and you like move it around, its head will stay in the same spot it's something to do with like how they like balance, or I don't know what the purpose of it is. It's freaky to watch.
It's awesome.
Like their head stays pinned in exactly the same spot basically. Yeah, I like that. I also feel like that would be kind of an interesting character trait that to have this like mighty warrior that's afraid of nothing, to have a chicken be sort of their sigil.
Right.
I feel like that would be a thing that people would maybe, you know, people who are...
They would balk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. People would kind of make fun of them for that. Exactly. They would sort of be like, oh, the chicken knight? Are you kidding me? Like,
right.
Get out of here with that. And then, you know, their buddy would be like, dude, she's right there. Like, what are you talking about?
Like there's gravel on the ground. She could feed that bird at any second.
Yeah. Like, dude, this lady killed Zatmep. You can't even, what are you doing, man? I think that would be, there'd be a lot of like interesting, that would be how you'd introduce this character, right?
Totally.
Is it'd be like a bar fight that she gets to do with some guy who's making fun of her chicken.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, okay, make fun of this chicken. Turns to stone.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's great.
That's really cool. Okay, great. We got another kind of 2-for-1 out of that one. All right, moving on to the next one. Let's see how many more times lightning can strike here for us.
Letter are you gonna do, Sam?
Let's go with a vowel. I'm gonna pick E.
Ooh, E.
Yeah. I'm not gonna use this, but it's cool to know that the first like name on this list is Echinacea, which is just like a plant. So I guess there's like herbal supplements and things on this list as well. So
awesome.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to go with Entyvio.
Entyvio.
Right. Entyvio. It is also known by the generic name Vito. Vitolizumab. I'm assuming that I'm saying that right. There's a lot of vowels in these words.
This is why I'm so glad that you're reading them and not me.
All right. Entyvio reduces the effects of a substance in the body that can cause inflammation. It is used in adults with moderate to severe ulcerative colitis or moderate to severe Crohn's disease. It treats the active disease and may help keep UC or Crohn's symptoms under control long-term. Entyvio may also reduce the need for steroid medicines and helping control symptoms long-term. It is usually given after other treatments have failed. Okay, so that's an interesting detail. I like that this is sort of like a last-ditch attempt. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a like a desperate like final like attempt at something.
Their TV ad is like, have you tried everything else? Why not try this?
Exactly. So that's what I kind of want out of I want this to be a character. And Tivio sounds like it sounds like a Shakespeare character. It sounds like mm-hmm. Mercutio or something. Like it sounds like kind of a vaguely like Italian totally. To me. Like I feel like Antivio would be this maybe Antivio is this this warrior or wizard that they used to be this really, really well-renowned fighter or this well-renowned mercenary or something like that. But in their old age, they maybe started to kind of maybe they were starting to like lose it a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, like they can't quite tell like the lines between like battle and like peace are kind of like blurred for them. They're just like sort of always on after like a life of like constant like warfare. Mm-hmm. So this is someone that is sort of the wild card that you would only hire them if you want total like scorched earth,
oh,
like everything. So, you know, if you send this person in, they're no one is safe, like
they're
collateral
Anton
damage.
Chigurh.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. We always have to. Yeah, I think this is a like a kind of a trump card type thing. You play this when you just say, all right, we don't want anything left over after this is done. We want to just like burn it all to the ground. Mm-hmm. So
well, it's anti-inflammation, so maybe freeze everything to the ground.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. So they would be. They should be either an ice mage or they should be maybe like a warrior that has like a blade made of like frozen ice or something like that, or like some kind of they could be both. Why not? I guess they could be like a spell sword.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really, really cool. Like anything that they strike like turns to like brittle ice and then like shatters into 1,000 pieces or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think this idea, though, of it like wiping everything out, I think their magic has to... If they attack, you know, one person who's standing in front of them, right? And that person dies and drops down dead. The magic is very contagious, perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
And so when the body falls on the ground, that, like, toxic ice spreads out from any place.
Oh, I like that.
And maybe that's how they're kind of this last resort thing, where it's like they can't just destroy the one thing that you want. Like, it's going to just keep going from there.
Yeah, okay, that's really cool. So why is it like that? Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is... Maybe it would be a product of, because they were hired as a mercenary for so many wars, it was never really important for them to find ways to contain sort of this like chaotic energy, you know. Mm-hmm. They just said, well, if it kills like a bunch of people, great, like I can hack one dude with a sword and then an entire platoon like around them falls, like perfect, you know. But now that there's not like, you know, maybe they exist in a time where there's not like endless wars. It is like a time of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being, you know, a blunt object, they need to be like more surgical. And that's not something that their magic is suited for at all.
So
it would be like rare that they would find work like this. And
I see them potentially being maybe some kind of a zealot, where they say to themselves, they're like, the like thousands and thousands of years ago, the world was covered in ice. Those were the halcyon days.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, I need to return it back to our natural state, and then me and the rest of like the frozen kind can rise again.
I like that. Maybe this is a thing that like, okay, so maybe they're like 1,000-year-old, you know, like some type of being that lives a long time. But I actually kind of like the idea better that, like I said, they're kind of starting to lose it. Like, mm-hmm. maybe they've made up this mythology,
right,
and they say like, no, I was alive thousands of years ago and this is the case. And people are like, dude, you're like 43. Like
your name is Ted and I was at your bar mitzvah.
Exactly. Like, no, guy, like whatever. Like, nobody's going to say that because they're going to get turned into a block of ice.
Right.
You know? I think that is really cool, that this would be a fun character to play, in that you would constantly just be like, able to make up these stories and legends of, you know, adventures that you were a part of in years past, but nobody really ever knows what's true. Mm-hmm. And what you're just kind of a crazy person that's like spouting off stories that they think would sound really cool.
Totally.
And they want that to be sort of their past, and maybe that's part of how they kind of justify like what they do. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really, really neat like kind of character trait to have. Like, that'd be so fun. I could just have a bunch of different like backgrounds. You know, I could say, oh, why do they call you the Blade of Winter or something like that, you know? And I would go and I'd write 10 different stories as to why they call me that. And then every time somebody asks, I would just give a different one.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yes. Exactly. In the form of song, obviously.
I think we should each do one more. And then maybe we can find a way to like maybe tie some of these together.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Okay, so Piper, you pick... you know what? Let me pick a letter for you this time.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah.
I'm gonna do Q, actually. That's a weird letter, if ever there was one.
Nice. Quailman.
Ooh, Questrin.
Questrin.
That's cool. Okay, so
it's got the word quest in its name.
Yes. Questrin, or the generic name Cholestyramine. It also goes by the brand name Cholestyramine Light. For fewer calories, I guess. Prevalite or Questrin. Questrin helps reduce cholesterol in the blood. High cholesterol is associated with an increased risk of heart disease and clogged arteries. Questrin is used to lower high levels of cholesterol, especially low-density lipoproteins, aka bad cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Questrin powder is also used to treat itching caused by a blockage in the bile ducts of the gallbladder.
Oh.
You should not use Questrin if you have a blockage in your stomach or intestines. Wait at least 4 to 6 hours of taking Questrin before you take any other medications. okay. Questrin. I think like equestrian is like what jumps out to me right away.
Oh, I like that better because I was honestly kind of being like, well, it just sounds like quest, and that's how every adventure begins. So that's not very exciting. Yeah. I'm going to take your prompt there with the equestrian side of it. it reduces cholesterol, which makes me think of Cheerios.
Yeah, and there's also a light version.
Yes,
remember?
Okay, maybe I will make kind of like a Pokemon character.
Okay.
Questrin. There's Questrin Light and Questrin Dark.
Ooh, all right.
Kind of like an Eevee and a, what's the cool black one with the gold circles?
Umbreon.
Umbreon, yeah.
This is really relevant, Piper, because they just announced yesterday, as of recording this, that there's Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are coming out, the new generation. They showed the three new Pokemon. There's a little duck with like a pompadour.
Oh.
A little green leaf cat and a kind of like a little fire... lizard looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, yeah. So I'm thinking in a kind of like Pokemon style. I feel like there's always these like legendary Pokemon, right?
Yes.
And they're usually the ones who can talk, like my boy Lugia. And they're usually like some kind of like balance keepers. The rest of the Pokemon are just sort of like animals who have fun.
Well, yeah, there's always, every generation has a trio of legendaries with one that is like sort of the overseer of the three, basically. Yeah.
So maybe these two Questrians, Light and Dark, they are the two of this threesome. And so you should probably, I think your next prompt should be maybe the one who oversees them.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Like
but that. Because Cheerios and cholesterol, I think maybe it has to do with like, happiness or love, because I'm thinking of like a heart. It like gets rid of blockages in the heart, so maybe it's almost like one of these horse creatures kind of acts almost like a Cupid.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
And it like runs around and makes people fall in love, and maybe there's another horse that's always chasing it, and it like causes heartbreak or something like that.
Okay, that's really cool. Like it's sort of a you know, like a cycle that like love and heartbreak are kind of like connected. Like they're always like intermingled, that like you'll see one day and the next day you'll always see the next one. You know, it's never really all good. Maybe they like, chase each other around the planet or something like that.
Yeah.
In like a never ending loop.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So I think maybe I'll just keep that sort of a simple concept.
Yeah.
I think I think they pretty much look like horses.
Okay.
Like a white horse and a black horse.
Yeah.
Maybe just to subvert expectation, the black horse is the one that makes you fall in love, and the white horse causes heartbreak.
Yeah.
It's the one shoving the Cheerios down your throat.
yes.
But I think there must be something about them. Like maybe they can run on water, or they can kind of like walk on mist. There's something about them. They can't necessarily fly, but they interact with the world in a different way, where otherwise if you looked at it, you'd be like, oh, that's just a horse. But But if you like look carefully, you can see that it's a special kind of horse. So yeah.
Oh, he's wearing a hat.
Ah, that horse has a mustache.
Yeah, it's a very special horse. I've never seen one of those before.
But I think like if you see it, like young lovers will see like the black horse will be like, oh, this is a great sign that we're gonna have a happy marriage.
Yeah, okay.
And you can try and like maybe coax the horse to come and bless your wedding.
Oh,
by
yeah.
giving it like oats.
I think that's
and bowls of Cheerios.
That's the thing is like everyone at their wedding, they leave out like a basket of oats for the dark questrin
yeah.
to come and, you know, hopefully bless your wedding. And mm-hmm. so like maybe there are foods that they know that the dark questrin and the light questrin both like. And so you want to put out things that only the good one likes.
Yeah.
But if you want to like ruin someone's wedding, if you mm-hmm. want, like if you are like a scorned lover perhaps
yeah.
and you are jealous that someone else, you know, someone that you love is marrying someone else, maybe you would like sneak in some like carrots or something around the venue, because that's what everyone knows light question love.
Swap her bouquet with carrots.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you take the cake and replace it with a carrot cake,
uh-oh.
That would be the way to, no one will know. And they'll be like, oh yeah, we love carrot cake. Wait a minute. Hold on. Who did this?
This wedding's cursed. Awesome.
I think that would be cool. Okay. I like that. I like that there is a way to reliably lure mm-hmm. either of them, and that people could have some type of influence over that, over like whichever one shows up
yeah.
is the one that will sort of like bless your wedding day.
Yeah.
And it can be for good or ill.
I think there are magical rules about these horses where they can never be ridden.
Yeah,
and they can never be caught.
Yeah.
So even if you managed to throw a net over one of them and build a concrete box around it, it would just like walk through the walls. I think
it'd be like that video of the honey badger where they keep
yes.
building more and more elaborate cages and it keeps finding
it keeps
ways to get out.
Yeah.
They literally just make a concrete box that they drop in the ground and it finds a way to like build a ladder to get out.
Yeah. So I think these horses can never be ridden or captured.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. Yeah. So untamable.
Yeah.
The hearts of
wild
these
stallions.
Horses are untamable. Okay.
That one goes out to all the horse girls out there. Represent.
Perfect. Waiting for our Lisa Frank sponsorship. All right. Piper, what letter are you giving me for my last one?
Ooh, your last one is going to be the letter O.
Ooh. Okay, Piper, we just like same brand. I literally had my thumb over O. I was thinking about that.
Nice.
Okay. All right. O. We're going with Omniseph. Okay.
Omniseph.
That's kind of cool. I mean, Omniseph sounds like someone that would oversee mm-hmm. Two rowdy horses, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe they're a cowboy.
Yeah. Okay. I like that, actually. I think this is cool that, like, here's what I want. So I like that you associated these horses with Cupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in this world there is a Cupid, but he's like a gruff, badass cowboy guy. He's
cool.
not like a cute little baby with a bow and arrow that you know with hearts for arrowheads or whatever. It's like
he shoots you with guns.
Yeah, no, it literally it, yeah, it's just a guy. It's just Arthur Morgan. It's just like Arthur Morgan with the full beard. And he shows up and he's like, well, gotta tame these two horses again. They're, you know, he's always just like over it. And people are always like, Omniseph, can you please help with a relationship? And he's like, dude, leave me alone. And he pulls out his gun and he shoots you.
And they're like, I'm in love.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that energy of just like, you're saddled with the responsibility, if you will, of kind of being the shepherd of like, love and heartbreak
mm-hmm.
In the world, but you just are so in Arthur Morgan style, constantly having to solve other people's problems, and you're so fed up with it and
oh,
so over it.
Totally. I think, how about this? This cowboy Cupid, he's got two pistols
yeah.
on each hip,
yeah.
and one of them shoots like bullets that make you fall in love, and one shoots bullets that make
kill
you. He's always forgetting and sometimes grabs a real gun and just shoots people dead.
Ah,
and he's like,
damn it.
Whoops, that was supposed to be a love bullet. Now I have to flee.
You shot the bride in the face.
Oh my God. Okay, that's canon now.
Yeah, definitely like that.
He's got a love gun and a death gun.
A love gun and a gun that just shoots you. Yeah.
It just shoots you dead.
Okay, I think that's cool and great. I feel like maybe the way this is supposed to work is that, you know, you would make an appeal to him in the same way as you would do one of these horses, right? But like, you know, the horses are kind of more chaotic. Mm-hmm. And the intention for this guy is that if you, you know, cook him like a hearty cowboy
stew?
Bean stew or whatever. Yeah.
I thought was eating beans at 3:30.
Yeah. Oh my God. More. We are really getting Stockholm syndrome for these commercials. Yeah. If you haven't seen the Geico commercial where the cowboy is trying to schedule a shootout with another cowboy or whatever, it's a classic.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I feel like if you find a way to like beguile this, you know, this gruff old fatherly kind of guy, mm-hmm. That would be the way to like assure that, you know, you'll have ups and downs in your marriage, but like it'll always come out the way that you would hope for.
Yeah.
Whereas the horses are, you know, if you get the horses on your side, maybe like it's kind of like a monkey's paw thing. Like even if it's really good, it's like things are like too good, mm-hmm. you know, like yeah. you can't really like trust it because you're just like, it's so weird that like nothing ever goes wrong. Like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Whereas with this guy, like he brings the balance, which I think is like a good part of a healthy relationship that like you need to be able to like address the negative things as well. Welcome to our couples therapy podcast. yeah, I think this guy is like, he can make sure that both like love and tragedy pass through your life. Like,
In a healthy way.
In a healthy and good way. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. They maintain that balance.
Cool.
Yeah. I just love that it's a big, rude cowboy, man.
He definitely has a guitar on his back, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he, like, will pull it out and he's like, plucks, like, all these random little love songs.
Yeah.
Sad cowboy love songs.
Oh, that's great. Maybe you have to, like, sing him a love song that, like, moves him to tears or something like that. I think that would be
she
cool.
Bangs. Yeah. She bangs. She bangs. And he shoots you dead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I also like the idea that he, in this kind of Wild West setting, he doesn't ride a horse. He just walks.
Yeah. Well, because he's constantly chasing after his horses.
Right. Yeah. I think he is the only being on this plane who can ride one of these two wild stallions.
Okay, cool.
So if he happens to, you know, intersect with them, he can throw a lasso around its neck, hop on its back, and then ride it.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're off doing their own thing because they're wild ponies.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of walking through the desert, singing songs on his little guitar.
Yeah.
Chewing tobacco. Accidentally like shooting people.
Yeah, accidentally murdering people on their wedding day. I like that. Okay, so Omniceph and the two questions.
Awesome.
I think that's great. Do we want to try and bring anybody else into this, or do we feel, I mean, we kind of combined Zatmep and Zovirax. I like that we've combined Question and Omniceph so far. And Tivio and Flexeril, is there any way that we want to tie those together a little bit, maybe?
Flexeril works within the Western setting.
Yeah.
So it, that could just be, you know, something that's also sold around while all of this love stuff is happening.
Great. That was easy.
I think we should, let's use the wheel. We can pick one of these each and we'll just mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I gotta find the wheel. I haven't used it in 7,000 years.
We have to blow the dust off of our random modifiers wheel.
Exactly. Oh my God. And did I mute it or not today? Hey, I muted it. Look
yay.
At that. All right. So spinning the wheel, as for longtime listeners, you'll be familiar. This is a wheel of random special modifiers that we will use to just add a little bit of extra spice to the creations that we've already been having so much fun exploring here today. We haven't used it in a long time. Mm-hmm. We kind of reintroduced it when season two started here, and then started ignoring it again promptly. So what we've got right here.
Yeah. So Sam, Piper, I'm going to pick one of yours.
Yes.
And that the spin will be applied to it.
Okay.
You should do this for your god of death.
Zatmep. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got a turn for the worse.
Okay.
Which is basically a turn for the worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something
it is what
something
it
really
like,
bad
yeah.
has to happen to Baphomet.
Yes. Okay. So, this would be cool. So like he's got his, you know, cudgel with those obsidian shards in it that he drags around. Mm-hmm. Maybe like another god of mischief or something stole the obsidian shards from his cudgel. So he no longer has the ability to lop off the heads of 1,000 men at once. Like when he does it, it just kind of like, you know, it gives him a nasty little neck bruise.
It bulls
but
him over.
Yeah, it just knocks him over. But he's like, dude, I can't. That was like my thing. That was my favorite thing, was chopping off 1,000 heads at once, and I can't do it now. Please go on a quest to go and recover the, like, you know, the obsidian shards so that I can go back to murdering mortals. A thing that I'm sure you would love it if I could get back to really quickly.
How about this? Because most party people are typically some kind of good alliance.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, no, we're not helping with that. Maybe, what's his name again?
Zatmep.
Yeah. Maybe Zatmep, kind of Shadow of the Colossus style, like takes a love of yours
or a family member
or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've got them locked in my cool Aztec temple.
Yeah.
They will be my next blood sacrifice unless you go and get me back these shards.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, we have to look, man, this is a thing that's going to happen whether you like it or not. You may as well be the one to go get these shards. Mm-hmm. If you don't, your sweet, sweet baby boo.
Yeah.
Is going to get sacrificed.
The puppy that he stole.
Yes.
Gotta save that dog.
I like that. Okay. That's
John Wick style.
All right. That works, Piper.
Question real quick, though.
Yeah. What's the question?
So I've been picturing this buff. No, it's not buff.
Zatmep.
Zatmep. Yeah, I've been picturing Zatmep as being a very large being. How big is each obsidian piece? Do you also see them as a giant and therefore each piece is really big, or do you see them as more human sized and the pieces are small?
Yeah, I actually wasn't really picturing them as super huge. The thing that was like larger than life about them was their weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw them as honestly just kind of like a normal sized person. I mean, maybe in supremely good shape, Adonis like, you know, sort of build, obviously, but I even would see them as like, maybe even being kind of like a little bit shorter than you would expect. Hmm. And, you know, they're like super, super built, but they're not necessarily like a large imposing figure. It's just their supernatural ability to wield this insanely huge weapon. That's
okay.
Kind of their godlike superpower.
Okay.
So that was what I sort of pictured.
Gotcha.
Therefore,
the obsidian pieces are probably what, like a size of a...
It'd be like the size of like a dinner plate,
a
maybe.
Dinner plate.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, hey, look, you throw a couple of those in a backpack, it's going to get heavy real quick.
Yeah.
But probably not beyond the reason for a regular person to be able to haul those around, at least a couple of them at a time.
And if you've got a party, then everyone can take a piece.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
I like that. All right. Well, Piper.
Yes.
I'm going to pick one of yours here.
Pick one.
I am going to pick a Cyclovir and Zovirax, I think. I'm treating that as like a combo, right? Because they're buddies.
Oh, yes, yes. The Lady Warrior and her chicken Steve.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And what you've got for a prompt here is Mirror Universe.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're stepping into an alternative reality.
Yes.
Maybe where
they meet an alternate reality version of themselves or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah. So the opposite of a chicken is obviously a bear.
Is it?
Okay. I'm just trying to think, like, what would be the opposite of that creature?
Maybe it's where instead of like a warrior that rides a giant chicken,
it's like a chicken that sits
on your shoulder.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So if we're changing her character, then maybe instead she's more of like a pirate. And
yeah, okay.
Yeah, the rooster sits on her shoulder like a pirate's parrot.
Oh, I like that.
I still like the idea that it is a basilisk.
Yes.
And it can turn people to stone.
Cool.
Cool. But yeah, help me elaborate apart from just a pirate with a chicken.
I do. Okay. So here would be maybe a cool way to make it more piratey is instead of having it be that, you know, they have to feed their like basilisk or wait, is it basilisk or cockatrice? Cockatrice is also a thing, right?
I think both are applicable.
I think they're both. Yeah, okay.
We'll look this up later.
So maybe instead of having to feed them some type of like diet thing to make them turn stuff into stone, they have an eye patch, and if they lift the eye patch, they have like one eye that will turn you into stone.
The rooster has an eye patch.
Yeah, the rooster has an eye patch.
Cute.
So whenever the rooster wants to, you know, get up to some shenanigans, they switch the eye patch to the other eye so that they have their stone turning eye that's, you know, now suddenly revealed. And then when they want to just like live their life normally, they switch it back over the stone eye.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a rooster and an eye patch. I also like, so another kind of like classic piratey thing here. I want you to choose, should it be peg leg or hook hand?
Ooh,
choose one for me.
That's a really good one. I feel like peg leg.
Okay.
Because they could fashion the peg after like a chicken's like claw or something like
that. Oh my gosh.
Even. Yeah.
So I think this pirate warrior lady, she has a peg leg, and it's because one time she was like cleaning the gunk out of her pet rooster's eye and he accidentally like looked at her foot and it turned to stone.
Oh no.
And then it broke off. And so she's like, damn it, I still love you. So she lost a foot because her rooster looked at it.
So you always put a bag over your rooster's head when you're cleaning
out their eye gunk.
Yeah, it's like if you've ever worked in like a dark room, you know, you have those little canisters. You got to put the you put your hand in a bag so you can load your film onto a canister.
Yeah.
Just
totally.
Like that.
I think this lady, whenever she comes into port, she definitely the rooster's for it. This is like what he wants to do. She enters him in cockfights.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause they're like, you know, you're on shore leave, you're looking to brawl. And so the rooster's like, put me in, boss, I'm ready to fight. And he's like, she's like, all right, cool, let's make some money.
I mean, it makes sense that the rooster would talk too, obviously, because it's like a pirate's parrot, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that it's just like a weird lizard chicken with like a rough and tumble eye patch and a New York accent. Yeah.
Well, exactly. So here, where before she made fancy armor to keep him safe, I think this, because it's the smaller chicken, she's made awesome like talon like gauntlets.
Yeah, cool.
Which
Guardians of Gahul style.
Exactly. Yeah. Which you can only use in black market like cockfights.
Yeah.
Because that's
for
not
sure.
regulation.
For sure. Because there are regulations.
There's regulation cockfights. Yeah. But they're part-time pirates, part-time like boxer and coach.
Cool. Okay.
Manager.
I like that. I
like
they're
like giving the chicken a little massage.
Yeah, with a little towel over its shoulders.
Yeah. Pressing a coin to his little cut.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I got three more rounds. Let me go.
This is so great. So do you think that in these cockfights, is this the only basilisk, like fighting a bunch of regular chickens, or is it a bunch of basilisks? Are basilisks like a common creature, do you think?
I think they are common enough. I think it's not allowed in these cockfights. I think this is like just like, it's supposed to be regular chickens or other talking chickens.
Yeah, okay.
Chickens who can consent to fight.
Only talking chickens can fight in these. Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's inhumane.
A chicken can only fight if they have the human ability to sign their name.
Yes.
On a contract that states they consent to being put into these fights.
Exactly. But this one, so basilisks aren't allowed. So, but they don't want to like cheat because they'll get kicked out of fights and they won't get to make money anymore.
Yeah.
So she always just make sure that the eye patch is on good and tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eye patch on good tight, yeah.
And if not that they're punching, I imagine they're scratching.
Yeah.
But if for whatever reason the eye patch flies off, she's like, keep your eyes shut. And he's like, I'm fighting with one eye closed.
I think that would be, that would be sort of their, I mean, that would be like their kind of trademark is that it's, the one-eyed chicken or whatever, even though they have two eyes. That'd be neat. That I bet you there are matches where they feel like somebody cheated. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they corner him in an alleyway and they're like, look, man, you swindled the wrong bird.
Totally.
Right? And
totally.
They flip the eye patch, turn these fools into stone. I like that. I feel like I imagine probably the first time they do that, they turn them to stone and then they realize the money's still in their pockets and
turn
them to stone and they're like, ah, shit.
Now like,
they're like chiseling away at their pocket trying to get it out.
That's incredible.
I like that. Okay. So we've had some fun here.
We sure did.
We've thrown in some modifiers just for old times as a treat. I think these are good. I think let's button this up.
Yep.
Let's hop on over to the next segment of the show here, the Rec Room.
Ayo.
It's such a beautiful room where we recommend these wonderful other sources of inspiration.
Spent a lot of time decorating this room. Yeah. I hope you appreciate the nice carpets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All the tapestries, mm-hmm. all of the amenities.
Yeah.
The recessed lighting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's
I don't
free
know.
Coffee over there.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
Yes. It's a beautiful room to be in, full of beautiful things. And this week, the beautiful thing that I want to recommend is actually the Cuphead show we've been watching recently.
Yes.
It's so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Good reco.
I don't know, like it really doesn't tie in any way at all to anything that we've been talking about here, but it's just a fun, wonderful show. It's been a great couple of weeks, actually. We got Cuphead and we got Miss Maisel season 4.
Yep.
So that's been kind of a nice reprieve for us from all of the kitchen work and stuff that we've been doing as mm-hmm. we've been remodeling the kitchen. And I don't know, just two really fun, high quality shows that we recommend you go and watch.
Yeah.
Not for any necessarily source of inspiration for D&D, but just for your life being good.
Well, if you're a gamer, which I feel like many of our listeners are,
yeah.
You can watch the TV show Cuphead, but you can also play the video game that it's based off of,
yeah.
which is all hand-drawn animation, yeah. which is absolutely unbelievable that they've done that.
It's so good. It's incredible animation, incredible music. Like, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's a really fun and cute show that we really had a lot of fun with. So go and check those out. If you like them, tweet at us about them.
Yeah.
Or like we said, if you have any ideas about any of these weird medication-based characters that we made, feel free to send those our way as well. Mm-hmm. Piper, where can our listeners go to contact us if they want to share any of their creations with us?
Well, you can chat to us anytime on Twitter. We are at WorldForgePod. But you can also send us emails, worldforgepod@gmail.com.
Absolutely, yes. If you want to find ways to support the show, a really great way to do it is to, yeah, send us something you're working on. If you have ideas for prompts, for topics, for, you know, things that you want our help kind of working on. We love getting to dive into your worlds and just kind of get to play around. That's always really, really fun for us. And
yeah.
if you would be so kind as to leave us a 5-star review and a nice little comment in your podcasting app of choice, that is also a great way to help get the show in front of new listeners totally for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that we appreciate so much. It makes our day. And yeah. Please,
yeah.
please go do that. So mm-hmm. I think that's all that we got for you this week.
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming back, listeners. We will return again.
Eventually.
Probably, I would think. I don't know. I don't think we have a topic for next episode.
No.
A couple things, but yeah, let us know.
If you've got other, like similar to this one, other ideas of something that we can take, like maybe car names or your favorite band or musician, throw that at us and we'll turn it into something fantasy/game related.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. So we will look out for any prompts from you guys. Otherwise, we'll be back next episode with another very, very fun little hour of content for you, regardless of what we end up doing.
Yeah.
We love you all and goodbye.
Goodbye.